Well then.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And with very special guest.
Keith.
That's the guy right there.
That's me.
Wait.
The beautiful and talented.
Kyle.
There we go. I thought it was Carl.
Is he Kyle?
No, he's not Kyle.
No, he's not.
He's Keith.
Isn't Look, we, Kyle? We give Caleb a lot of crap, but he's a good guy.
I'll answer to anything.
Kurt? I like
Coral.
Coral. I can't stand that show.
No, me neither. No. Like, what? Other people can like it.
What show?
The Walking Dead.
Oh. Yeah.
I got 3 episodes in, and I was like, I don't want this.
I got about 3 books into the comic books and went, done.
The comic books seem really cool. I've only read a couple. I just never, like, bought into it. Like, I think they were fine. I just didn't,
Was nothing wrong with them. It was just, it was just this whole, like, zombies and everybody's going to die eventually. And I just went,
Yeah.
You lost me.
So, yeah. So I never really watched the show.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, show's usually worse than the comic books. And the comic books are all right. So I don't feel like going any worse than all right.
Stick with the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, graphic novels. Not disparaging them in any way, shape, or form. Just not my bag.
Didn't buy in.
Speaking of terrible things that have happened to humanity.
Oh, my God. We have drinks. What have you done?
Something awful. Something.
No, that was your other podcast.
Yes.
Something awful copter.
James has given us the Minnesota Vikings of drinks, which is a sports reference.
Well done.
I'm pretty proud of myself.
I'm proud of you, too. God damn.
In which it'll be pretty good until we choke at the end.
And I'm sure that will happen.
I just came up with that off the top of my head. I'm so proud of you guys. I didn't even write that.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So, what we're drinking today...
It bounces off of the bar.
Yeah.
It says must be 21 plus to purchase right on the bottle.
Yes, it does.
On the plastic bottle.
Because it looks like Gatorade.
Because it looks like... It tastes not like Gatorade.
This is a bottle of Gatorade.
The last time I drank alcohol out of a plastic bottle, it was a Bartles and James 2-liter.
Oh! A 2-liter?
Yeah, it used to come in 2 liters for like $3.99.
Oh, yeah.
I'm old.
Last time I drank...
Don't forget, I'm old.
Last time I drank booze out of a bottle, I put it in the bottle first.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair.
Yes. No, this so, yes, we have a plastic Gatorade bottle filled with...
Smirnoff Ice. It's Electric Mandarin.
Which is not a name that a drink should have.
No.
Contains beverage alcohol.
Well, because the thing is, when you taste it,
as opposed to that powderized stuff.
No, you're going
to
be like, is this rubbing alcohol?
Automotive?
No, I mean, it's beverage.
No, it's beverage. Yeah.
Beverage?
Beverage.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors.
Okay, so what's the nose on this?
And certified color.
I love that the color is certified.
It's certified color.
Can you see it if it's certified color?
I don't actually taste really alcohol in it.
What? How?
This smells like Gatorade and vodka.
It smells kind of like a watered-down Tang.
No,
this smells like basically what we drank at parties in high school.
It definitely does, yes.
This smells like the
Gatorade
time...
and cheap vodka that you get out of the liquor cabinet that your parents have under the counter, kind of tucked in back.
I once rented an E85 car. I'm pretty sure that they don't sell E85 anymore, and
we
know where it went.
Let's find out what Electric Mandarin tastes like. Oh my god. Oh, that's awful.
Yep. Somebody put a shot of whiskey in this.
Yeah.
That's going to fix that right up.
No, I wasn't.
Whiskey or rum, if we have a spiced rum.
We don't have a spiced rum.
Or we have a spiced rum.
No, we don't have spiced rum.
We have Sparkle Donkey.
We have Sparkle Donkey tequila.
God. Oh, God.
No.
I'm seriously,
cherry
like...
Cherry is gone.
All right, yeah, get some scotch in here.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I
wasn't joking. This legit tastes like that shitty, get whatever you can stolen from your parents' liquor cabinet in high school. Where your party is crap, but you think it's awesome.
I kind of like it.
I've never seen you smile this much.
I kind of like it.
Wow. Okay.
I'll just leave the bottle. That didn't really help.
No.
So I think it helped slightly.
So Carson doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I feel fancier now drinking it. Fair enough. But yeah. I'm going to finish this. Don't get me wrong.
We have gone on about this drink for way longer than it deserves.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's a cautionary tale.
No. Oh.
Next on a very special episode.
No, really, the cautionary tale doesn't need to be this long. It could just be no.
The plastic bottle was the cautionary tale, right? Really. No, this is clearly marketed to, like, college kids.
Yeah. No, the last time that we bought something bulk like this, it was called Chinese Rocket Fuel. It's a discontinued energy drink.
I had forgotten how bad it was, and then I took another drink, and I went, oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. It's 5% Nepenthe. Is actually.
I am going to pour myself a glass of scotch. As a
yeah.
Somebody talk about.
Hey, probably Kyle, gonna, do probably you want the rest of this?
It. Sure.
Okay.
Stick it over here.
Okay.
Throw the cap on. I'll take it home. Cool. That's lunch tomorrow.
Oh no! All right. So yeah, it's
somebody
it's,
put Kahlua in this.
Yeah, it's strongly bad.
Yeah.
No, that's the land party beverage. We were talking about cowboy stew last episode, and this is what we used to wash it down.
I guess, Jenna, what you been up to?
Sick. Cool. I've been very, very sick. I got the kind of sick where you lose days.
Oh.
Yeah. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Well, I vaguely remember Saturday because I was actually doing things, but like it started Wednesday afternoon.
Just burped. Oh my God.
Yeah, like Wednesday afternoon, like I just got hit.
Yeah.
And
as if
I
over the head with a club.
Like I slept with anywhere between 16 to 20 hours every day until Saturday morning when I had to get up at bloody ass early in the morning to get my daughter to her one act competition.
Hmm.
That was fun. Holy shit.
Tell us about how that went.
It's like Junior Fringe. Especially this particular one-act competition, because there was a show in it written by Josh Carson.
Yeah.
And then there was another show in it written by Mike Fotis and Joe Bozick.
Wow.
And, and there was... It really was like a sampler of theater. Like, Jess's was very contemporary, futuristic type thing. And I was so proud of her. She got that moment. You know that moment where the entire audience goes, ooh. Mm. Mm. She got that moment.
Nice.
To the point where I heard somebody behind me go, whoa. I'm like, my daughter made that happen. So they performed really well. But so did everybody else. So there was the contemporary one. There was a very movement-based show called The Macbeths, which actually took the competition. Where it was the only words that were spoken in the entire thing were from the Scottish play.
Ah.
And
you mean Macbeth?
Yes, that one.
Okay.
I don't care particularly, but
one of our listeners is playing this in a theater and was just crushed by something falling.
I was trying to play it cautious.
That's their fault for listening to our show in a theater when I say Macbeth.
God damn it.
We just lost another one.
Quick, if you're in a theater,
this keeps
run
happening
now.
Every time I say Macbeth.
Get out. Oh God.
Oh God.
The premise was, it was just, there were, and they all like moved in unison at times, and then they were sporadic at other times, so it was kind of almost dance-like. But there was a trunk, and there were like small costume pieces, like gloves or a sack or a wreath or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you could see them all being pulled towards this trunk, and being like driven to put these things on, and then doing parts of Macbeth, and like, but they had some just fantastic like.
We are gonna get so much hate mail.
And they won't survive.
Well, and at the end of the
this episode
show,
will be like The Ring.
Oh God! but so. The only spoken words were from the play. And but there would be times like Lady Macbeth. So like you would. That's a character name.
Five.
That's a character name.
No, that's a character name.
Yeah, that's fine. The Lady of the House.
We're not saying Macbeth the play.
The play. No, we're saying
the character.
Lady. That's
it's like. Yeah. It's like when you're a kid and you're quoting somebody saying a swear word.
Sure.
You didn't say the swear word.
Gotcha.
They said the swear word.
Billy said fuck ass.
Yes, exactly.
I didn't say fuck ass. I'm not saying fuck ass right now. I'm quoting Billy when he said fuck ass.
Yes.
Okay.
anyway, but so for the lady character, they had these lace gloves.
Mrs. Scottish play?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But like these lace gloves. So at one point, one of the character has one of the gloves on. The players, I guess we'll call them all players, had one of the gloves on and was reciting a line. And another player grabs the other glove and then they recite together in unison. Oh, and then the other player takes the glove off. And now she's like, it was these kinds of things throughout this entire production. It was really well
done.
That
is super awesome.
It's not the play that I thought was going to win, though. Hmm. The one that I thought was going to win.
Was your daughter's?
No. No.
No, as much confidence like, as she has in her daughter, like that's some stiff competition.
It was incredibly tricky competition. Everybody just brought their fucking A game.
Nice.
There was not a bad play in the entire thing. But the one that really sold me was a show called Wit. If you have not heard of this, like I had not heard of it, it is basically it's a literary college professor dealing with and then dying of cancer, right? And
hilarious,
yeah.
Well, the name like Wit, how can it not be?
Right. But the and most of it is driven by this one actress who was incredible. She went through, like, she started getting shakes at certain times, and she, you could feel the anxiety of being alone, and just all the, like, she didn't have any visitors, she didn't have, and just all of this stuff, and she was very sharp, and she had the accent down perfectly. She had this British accent that was just, I cried twice during a one-act play put on by high schoolers. Holy shit. We all thought they were going to take it. They came in second to the Macbeths.
That's six.
It was plural.
It could be more. That was plural.
Oh, yeah. Plural.
Then, yeah, there were the two shows. There was, I'm not going to remember the whole title, but it was a show that Josh Carson wrote about John Wilkes Booth. The actual shooting in the theater, the start of the show is like right after Lincoln gets assassinated, and
the spoilers.
Sorry, but it's not a story about Lincoln. It's a story about the actors on the stage and how they're dealing with it, which is to say, comical farce. Of everybody wanting to get the glory or be noticed somehow because they're all actors.
Right.
And there were so many just side comments and just in jokes for theater. Hmm. It played super well with the kids. But it was that show was adapted somewhat from a show that Josh had written. So it wasn't like word for word Carson's material, but it was... Yeah. There were some changes, and you could tell, because, like, there's one point where there's supposed to be a fire. And they're like, oh, no, there's a fire. We can't actually have a fire, you guys. Like, they go to start a fire. They're like, we can't actually have a fire. Statute A2LL of the Minnesota one-act competition strictly prohibits fire and glitter. Like, just things like that. Just beats like that. And, like, I'm thinking, I'm like, I bet he did it as a Fringe play first.
Brilliant.
Because glitter is also banned from Fringe.
Makes sense.
So, like,
as there's... it should be.
Don't say that to the belly dancer. The Fotis Bozek play was Speech, and it's about a speech competition and the characterizations within that, and that was incredibly good. In fact, there was one actor in there that was like just this nerdy kid that got hit a lot, like accidentally, sometimes on purpose. He would trip and fall. He would run into walls, just like all of these things. I want him to take stage combat. In my brain, he is the pratfall kid. And he got slapped, and his reactions sold every fucking time. And you could tell when he had the nap and when somebody else had the nap. Because the other person having the nap was slightly off, but he was on every fucking time. Like, it was... Like, to the point I messaged the director and I was like, so this kid, if they're interested in stage combat, I know people, I'll hook them up, I swear to God. Like,
nice.
So, yeah. But that was really well done. And then, yeah, there was Jess's play and another play. I can't remember the name of it, but the other play was about... somebody with autism as a kid and the household stuff, and it was adapted from a book that Jessa had actually read. So she knew everything, like, when they started playing it. She's like, oh, yeah, they did that. Oh, they missed this part. But they had to, you know, condense it into a one act. So, and that was also really fucking well done. Everything was really well done. Jessa's play was, I don't remember the name of it. It's Property Rights. It's a one act called Property Rights, and it's about these robots, or figures, I guess, basically androids.
Sure.
That, and not the phone, but like data. that was for you.
God damn it. All right.
So, but they're very specifically, you know, androids, and they're glorified computers. And this guy's trying to sell these other people on buying them, and it doesn't happen, whatever. But the technician repair person comes in because one of the androids has started biting people, and it's only supposed to they're only supposed to respond very specifically to commands. And it turned out that the guy that bought these things didn't have the monitors and computer bits that are supposed to prevent them from becoming sentient. And so it's kind of a struggle of where do your rights end and where do they begin as far as like AI and, you know, and sure. At what point are you your own person as opposed to whatever. And Jessa played the creepy robot, the one that bit people. And she was right. Incredible.
Seems like
because
the kind of thing she would do well.
Well, so I mean, there's this part the first time she bites somebody or moves in any way, shape, or form. Like the first part of it, she's under a sheet, she's not on the block for selling right now,
right?
Because obviously she's been acting up.
Yeah.
And they remove the sheet, and they're like, oh, my God, she's beautiful. I want this one, blah, 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 whatever. And the two of the guys that have been talking kind of walk over a little bit to talk. And then, like, you just look back, and Jess is biting this other character. Like, you never see her move. She's just suddenly got this person's arm in her hands and is biting them. And you're like, how the fuck did that even happen? Like,
nice.
Yeah, it was really well done.
Brilliant and, bit of direction.
Yeah. Well, and Piper actually did human combat chess several years ago. Well, not several, but you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Nobody's fact-checking you.
Piper is, if she's listening. I'm
going to get an angry email.
But at that point, she was probably...
Nothing about Macbeth, but that damn
God
time frame.
Damn it, several. How many is like several?
But yeah, no, she has some background in stage combat, and this was a violence heavy show. Not heavy, but more than you would typically see in a high school one act competition.
Sure.
So, yeah, so she had a really good eye for that. Yeah.
Well, it seems like a really weird visceral violence too, and not not the usual like
elegant violence.
Yeah,
punching actually, and kicking and sword fighting and that kind of thing. It seems more
there
like
was no
biting
sword
and
fighting.
Clawing and
right. There's... But you think about little kids. It's kind of making the metaphor of a small child. The first thing you do is bite.
Right.
As a small child,
I had like a really weird, very relevant discussion with somebody about this based on a news story that occurred recently.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was the discussion of like, are children sociopaths until the majority of them, like neurotypical or aneurotypical, do they start out as being just like feral and then eventually learn how to meld with society and catch up to, like, as they leave the larval stage,
sure,
and become adults, do they grow into the more advanced society, but they start out like little,
not everybody
little
does,
monsters. Well,
I don't
the news story that started this. I'm interested to know your thoughts. Sure. The news story that started this is that two teenage girls, like young teenage girls, one of them may even have been preteen, like 11
sure.
or 12. The other one was like 14 or 15. They had a premeditated murder.
The Slender Man.
That they stabbed somebody.
19
and,
times.
And somebody said, well, like, those girls are super mentally damaged, and it's good that they'll be locked away forever. And what started the conversation was, I mean, when I was a kid, you have these impulses to do things, and, like, kids are violent. Kids hit each other, and they, like... I remember being in fights where I wanted to hurt the other person because either they were bigger than me and they were picking on me, or because they were my same size and they were picking on me, or because, I don't know, they were just the worst and they were trying to hurt me and I wanted to hurt them back.
Okay.
And I remember that feeling and not caring about that other person's well-being, and that's extremely troubling, not necessarily for a child, but like right. if an adult is like that, that's a problem.
We have plenty of adults. We have plenty of adults like that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is that when we talk about psychology, this psychology is always within the culture, right? Something sure. that works for our culture doesn't work for another culture.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that we think of as far as like, psychologically sound has to fit within our culture,
mm-hmm.
Which means that to a certain extent, yes, you are not sane until you meet the cultural requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. And I mean, there could be a culture where it's totally fine to stab people.
Well, I mean, like,
it wouldn't happen for long, but there could be a culture.
Early Germanic tribes and things like that. Like, you were...
The Spartans.
You were the leader if you stabbed enough people.
The Spartans basically fucking killed everybody that was
Roman
not
society, early Roman society.
To me, a sociopath means that you are unable to conform to a culture.
Mm-hmm.
Within a specific personality stuffs. But that is essentially what being psychologically off is.
I mean, it's literally it's socio
ability.
It's societal. Mm-hmm. It's literally in the name.
but that's what being, I don't know, crazy. I'll say it because I've got 18 million different things in my background. So, but that's what it is an inability to conform to culture.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're children, you don't have that culture. And I don't think that means that you're actually crazy or sociopathic or anything like that.
Culture is imposed on you.
Exactly. But you haven't gotten there yet. You haven't had the exposure to be able to adapt to that culture.
I related it to playing chess.
It's like, well, let me finish this thought. Yeah, yeah. It's like calling somebody stupid for not knowing that 2 + 2 = 4 without ever having given them the instruction that 2 means this and this. Like, it's two
It's just so arbitrary symbols until you understand what they mean.
Exactly. Yeah. So in that respect, children, and I don't, they're not blank slates because we all know children come with their own personalities.
Right.
But when we're talking specifically about how people learn and grow and adapt to culture, they, to that, yeah, they are blank. So they can't be crazy because they haven't had the opportunity to adapt to the culture yet. You know what I mean?
I mean, there are, that doesn't mean that those girls aren't dangerous.
Oh, they've, God, no.
They've proven that they're dangerous.
You can be dangerous without intent to be dangerous.
Like, I was looking at, like, Lord of the Flies as being a really strong example of...
Never actually read it.
Well,
I'm a bad person.
In brief, this military school ship crashes. All of the adults are dead. The boys in the school are left to fend for themselves, and they become tribal and murderous.
Okay.
And barbaric. And the, like, it becomes very fucked up very fast. And it's kind of an example of the idea that society is a thin veneer painted over our animalistic nature. And that's the point of that thing.
So if the question that you're asking is, are our children inherently animalistic? I would view that a little bit differently. I would say to a certain extent, we definitely have our more base nature that but we also have the ability to adapt and change and fit other cultures. Yeah. So,
and I think that the idea of nonviolence and the rational nonviolent part, like, we can solve our problems through different methods. The idea of why we would even attempt that all of that is something that kids don't have yet. Like, when you're, and I said, it's like playing chess. The first thing that you do is you learn the rules, and the rules are imposed on you. You can't move the horse there.
Right.
The next thing is learning, once you have an idea of where you can move the horse, you are trying to strategize where you move the horse. And then later on, when you've mastered chess, you understand that you can move the horse there and all of the other places that you can move the knight piece, and why you would move them there and why you wouldn't take a piece with that piece. And that's very much like growing to adulthood, where, yes, you can get away with something, but being mature, like actually mature and a part of society, is saying, I won't do that even though I can, because of this, you know, 5 moves ahead.
That's a part of our society.
Right.
Well, and that's the other thing, is that I think that our society as it is right now is pretty emotionally stunted. That's how we keep ending up with all of these, you know, school shootings and teenage stabbing things and all the rest of it, is that we have, and this is where, when we get into adults, and you're like, I'm like, adults aren't, not in our society, because...
There's a difference between mentally adult and legally adult.
But there's, we have such an us versus them mentality in our society right now, that it is way easier to think of the them as not human or not people, and to objectify them, which then makes it easier to attack them or lash out or do whatever else to them. I don't want to bring sexism into it, but, you know, when we talk about...
Just like a woman.
Piss off.
Oh, fuck!
Fucking asshole. But when we talk about rape culture...
He was there!
God damn it, man.
It was.
When we talk about rape culture, there is...
I could say Macbeth instead.
For fuck's sake. just like Lady Macbeth.
to the parents of Cindy, we're sorry.
But no, when we talk about patriarchal society and rape culture and things like that, what we're looking at is this idea of an us versus them.
Sure.
I could go on into the differences between the men and the women within a patriarchal society, but basically, rape culture is a tendency to objectify women. Whether that is an objectification that, like, is just straight up women are different, or if it's something that is more put on us by culture. And I would argue that it is very definitely put on us by our culture as it stands. So, like, you know, we live in a rape culture. Does that mean everybody's bad? No, everybody is doing exactly what our culture is telling them is normal and sane.
I also feel that our culture tends toward a, like, a consequences, that we're a consequences-driven society, where law is not a matter of what is just, but what is good or bad based on the punishment that you receive. And if you receive no punishment, then it clearly couldn't be bad.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether it's just. What matters is whether or not you can be punished, whether it is legal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we've developed that culture over however many
Since we started taking land from the natives, when we would say, hey, we're going to do this thing. Oh, but it's written very specifically here, so we can just do this.
Right.
The way that treaties were written and the way that, like, yeah, we have literally built our nation on this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In the very real physical sense.
Many not empires. Just ours. Colonialism all over the world.
Imperialism.
Oh, yeah.
Byzantine.
Yep.
Yeah, no, so...
Hey, Katie in Australia, how's it going?
But yeah, my thought is that very, very similar to... That we actually watch children develop through the stages of cultural development from sort of caveman animalism, cave person animalism, to...
No, just the man.
To pretty much. Let's be honest. Fucking
No,
men are the worst.
Chicks be crazy too, yo.
and all the way up to ideally up to a more ideals driven just society rather than just a society of right and wrong of rules. You know, because kids go from asking, "Is this okay?" or "I just want this. I'm taking this." To "Is it okay for me to have this?" to "No, I'm not going to ask, because even if they would give this to me, that might be not a good thing for them." Right. Or, you know, like all of these things, these considerations come with a much more advanced mental state for kids. Their brains are still growing. Which is why I think we look at people who are shitty and we say that they're immature, that they're behaving childish.
You know? Oh, definitely, yes.
Like, when they're like that. I don't know. So that was the discussion that I was having with someone else, and I was interested to know what everybody thought.
So that's what James has been up to. Anything else?
I've still been working. I'm actually going through and editing down some of those stories that I will be publishing. I'm still picking them out, but I have three selected right now. And again, the plan is to publish them separately for super cheap, like 50 cents a piece, if I can. And then to have a collection for just a little bit more.
A compendium?
Right. But then, you know, you would be getting more stories for your dollar.
The director's cut.
Sure.
Yep.
But I'm starting out with I'm starting out with kid-friendly stories, so that because I loved writing stories and finding stories to tell my nephew, and so I would like to share that and do that first, and then write stories for grown-ups, or at least take stories that I've written that are not kid-friendly for that reason or others. And then publish those separately. Like big stories for little people, and then little stories for big people.
Like, it's not the size that counts, James.
It's not the size of the story that matters. It's
totally the size.
It's the duration.
Page count. Definitely page count.
I had a date like that once.
Stamina. The size of the print.
Whoa.
I,
And then you put the spacing between lines at 1.1.
Right, so, so that you can still get an A on it and and reach the page count. Right, yeah.
Yep.
That's the thing.
Oh, kerning.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So I've been up to...
I'm glad he took that. Yeah.
I know, right?
I was like...
Nobody was going to ask him. I could tell.
No. Yeah. No. Nobody cares, really. No. Which is why I need to do this.
Yes.
Right.
Good.
So for those of you who don't care, but you know anyway, the Super Bowl was this last weekend, I was on call for that, which was
fun.
Oh, God.
And by fun, I mean...
Not fun?
Shit. it was a weekend.
Mm. Yeah.
I worked my way through a lot of it. But that I really don't have much else to talk about as far as that goes.
I will say I took my brother grocery shopping on Sunday.
Oh, good.
And I left about 15 minutes before kickoff. And the streets were damn near empty. And we went grocery shopping, and the store was damn near empty.
Yep.
And then I got home on the streets. They were damn... Like, I didn't even slow down for the tunnel.
Wow.
That's how much that was.
Just went straight through it.
But, yeah, no, just the recipes that people sent me, by the way, were... I haven't tried any of them yet. I haven't cooked any of them and eaten them.
Yeah?
But they look real, real yummy. Some of them look super, super yummy. I'm really looking forward to trying some of them.
Are those posted on the Firesparks? Or
they're kind of all over.
The Fork Sporks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of them are on Facebook, yeah. But,
yeah.
Some of them were sent to me. Some of them were sent to the AON thing. It's just, they're just kind of all over the place a little bit. But, yeah, no, I want to thank everybody who sent me those because I'm really looking forward to trying some of those recipes out. But much more important than that is I really want to remind everybody that next weekend is Mondo Juggle Fest.
Woo!
Yeah, that's coming up. I'm getting really excited.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's kind of my jam every year. That's where I get to go and become inspired. And I don't use that glibly. I mean, I'm serious. Like, Mondo is my place to go and just have creative... performance art things wash over me.
Yeah.
I
always love to hear, like, you've been going to this for several years now, and
well over a decade at this point.
One of my favorite things about this podcast in particular has been listening to you sort of regale the listeners with stories from Mondo.
Yeah, it's seriously a good time, and if you I even if you're not a juggler, I recommend people come and check it out. Check out the show, if nothing else. The show that's on Saturday night, the Mondo Spectacular. Because we literally have some of the best jugglers in the entire world show up. These are people that have toured the world for decades. These are people that have gone to IJA, International Juggling Association, events and won, like, awards. The unicyclists that we have there are gold medal winners year after year after year. Like, these are the literal best unicyclists and jugglers on the freaking planet show up and do shows. And if that doesn't inspire you, holy fuck, what is wrong with you? And then you go to the gym after and they're just hanging out, and you just walk up to them and like ask them a question, and they're like, yeah, absolutely. And they'll show you how stuff is done, and they'll give you some pointers and tips and tricks or just talk to you about, I've got this concept that I'm working through for a show, and they'll be like, yeah, they'll workshop it with you, and it's just this hive of creativity and performance art, where everybody's just willing to just help you with a trick or a joke or a routine or something. You know?
So close to knowing how to juggle.
That's fine.
I've never been good. I want to know when you're going to swallow a sword while riding a unicycle.
When I learn how to ride a unicycle. Also, when Raider Lee gives the okay for that to happen.
Yeah,
never.
All right.
I'm going to say that's a big old never.
It's actually been, like, the trick that I've always wanted to do is fire poi on a unicycle playing a kazoo. Because I think that'd be fantastic.
Huh. I can see it.
Yeah. I think I could do it.
Salsa is going to swallow a sword that has a wheel on the hilt and make himself into a bicycle.
Ah, oh, God. Oh, God. No. No.
Sword swallowing headstand with the wheel sticking out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? No. Salsa's going to kill himself.
You didn't have to tell mom on us.
Somebody has to be the adult.
You know, we were talking about that whole immature and mature thing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the, no,
by the letter of the law, I didn't have to, however.
So there's the show, which is phenomenal. There is the open gym, which is awesome. And then there's just all of the workshops that you can go to.
Hmm. Where does this take place?
This takes place at... yeah, the Concordia College over in St. Paul.
Okay.
Which is just along the interstate at the...
Dale?
No, not out. It's before Dale. It's between Lexington and Snelling. What's that?
Summit is... No, that's McAllister.
I mean, there's Victoria...
Hamlin. Okay. It's Hamlin.
Hamsonite.
Okay. Yeah. Just on the just south of the interstate there. Then the show takes place at South... Oh, is that South or... Yeah, that's South High School on the corner of Lexington and just on the south side of the interstate there. I mean, once you're in... And gym passes are like $5 for all 3 days. Like, it's nothing. But once you're in, you've just got... all of these workshops that you can go to for free, you've already paid your entry.
Right.
And there's just this open area where everybody's got all these crazy stuff that they're practicing and working on and talking and sharing. And then there's always games and stuff going on. There's usually a game of unicycle hockey going on. On Sunday night, we usually get a game of volley club going. all sorts of competitions and, you know, like five ball endurance, five club endurance, passing endurance, you know, and then there's, you know, raffles and all this stuff. It's just it's 3 days of festival and it's a lot of fun. And I even if you've never juggled a club or a ball in your life, you can still show up and still be inspired and learn something. So that's my pitch.
Two questions. The first one is, have you ever played Johann Sebastian Joust?
No.
Okay.
What?
Sounds familiar.
Johann Sebastian Joust is, it's on PlayStation.
Is this the one where you have to stay perfectly still? Friends.
Yeah, you try to stay as possible.
I have played this,
That's right, you actually played that after recording with the Awfulcopter. Yeah.
Yep.
You stay as still as possible while the music is playing slowly, and then when it's playing quickly, you can move around. But the idea is that you try to... hold your controller still while forcing other people to move quickly and knock them out of the game.
Because the PlayStation, the PlayStation 3 controller has sensors. Gyros in it.
Yeah.
So,
and it's very sensitive. Like when they mean no movement, they mean no fucking movement.
Yeah.
But you're trying to bump other people's arms or something to get their gyros to spin out without breaking your own.
It would be amazing to have like a three ball juggling kind of joust
interesting
thing with, if you have like a foam fanoodle in one hand.
Wait, sounds like say we're getting into
combat and territory. Then
you try to knock the...
Well, just play combat, juggling combat.
Oh, I suppose. Is that, you try to force other people to drop their stuff?
Yeah, juggling, combat juggling, and there's different forms that combat juggling can take. Sometimes it's a face-off, sometimes it's a melee, but combat juggling is basically everybody's juggling and you try to be the last person juggling. And usually in like melee, that means throwing one club really, really high and running through the crowd of people just swinging clubs all over, trying to knock clubs out of but you still got to catch the club that you threw up in the air. You know, that means that, you know, backing into somebody or, you know, just walking backwards and backing into their patterns and things like that. But combat, it's basically everybody's juggling three clubs, and at the end of it, somebody needs to be juggling three clubs.
Ah.
And you can literally take your club, chuck it at another person across the room, and grab a club from somebody's pattern next to you, and you still have three clubs.
Yes.
I am for this.
Yeah, that is actually a legitimate move, is to just reach over and grab somebody's club out of their pattern and drop your own. But you're still juggling. You cannot break the juggling pattern.
I know.
So you can't drop one, let it hit the ground,
yeah,
and then reach over and grab somebody else.
I know what the fencing booth needs to do for their halftime show.
Oh my God, yes. Uh-huh. Excellent.
So anyway, yeah, that's combat juggling. There's usually a game of that happens at some point, too. We can talk about that later. So yeah, it's just a good time. But this is something that's really cool that I learned about just last night, and I really, okay. This is, and you might know about this, mm-hmm, but I read this and it blew my mind, and I figured it out, and I was like, this is absolutely true. My, like, logically I can conceptualize this, but it's still, my brain just went bleh. Okay, so this one, James and
knew
Jenna.
It.
Okay, James. Imagine that you have a tennis ball. Okay? Take a string and wrap it around the tennis ball. Okay? Now, imagine that you are lengthening the string so that the string hovers exactly 1 foot away from the tennis ball, all the way around.
Okay.
Okay. Jenna.
Yeah.
We have the Earth. Okay?
Yes.
Imagine there's a string that runs around the Earth at the equator.
Okay.
Now imagine the string gets longer until that string hovers 1 foot above Earth's surface.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the question for both of you is, guesstimate, just, you know, rough, how much longer does that string need to be to hover 1 foot above the surface?
Of the Earth?
Well, for you, the tennis ball.
Okay.
So how much longer do you think the string needs to be to hover 1 foot around that tennis ball? How much longer?
Okay, I'm doing some real quick
yep.
Mental math. I'm going to say 1.5 feet.
Okay. Jenna?
3.14 feet.
3.14 feet to hover 1 foot above Earth's surface?
Yeah.
Okay. James, the answer is 6.28 feet.
Wow.
And Jenna?
Yes.
The answer is 6.28 feet.
Oh.
For 1 foot? Okay.
Huh.
Because it's double the radius.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But it's 2 pi r. And for right. one extra foot from center, it's 2 pi.
Always.
Always.
Yeah.
No matter how small or how big you start,
oh, that's crazy
to
goodness.
Add 1 foot of circumference is always 1 foot of radius.
Ah, it's way off.
Isn't that crazy?
That is.
Like... And mathematically and logically, that makes perfect sense. But yeah. What you're just sitting there, you're like,
nah.
Exactly.
Six
you're like,
feet seems so right.
to make the Earth, the entire Earth, to hover 1 foot, nah.
Yeah.
But it's, it absolutely, yeah.
I did that based off of how I make my circle skirts, which is why I got the 3.1, and not,
because
I don't double, I've got the cloth folded in half.
So. Right, yeah. No, and you were both kind of on the right path as far as that goes. But
I was pretty far off.
Well, you were fucked up, but.
You were just guessing.
Yeah.
I was actually taking pie into account.
Okay, so she was closer than you were.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact... It doesn't matter if you start with an atom or if you start with the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
To increase and have a 1 foot margin around it is exactly 6.28 feet.
So if anybody Every wants time. My circle skirt pattern, we can talk later. I've got a
and
page. I'll just
that, ladies and gentlemen, is why pi is fucking cool.
Are you at all excited for?
And yes, pi day is coming.
Oh my God, it is coming
in a month.
I need to figure out what I'm doing.
I actually
so many ideas. I have a really good idea this year.
Oh yeah,
I have a really good idea. I'm gonna make my allergen free pies.
Okay. Right?
So I'm definitely gonna make the pumpkin because that is the most allergen free pie that exists.
Right.
Unless you're allergic to pumpkins.
I'm gonna make my nothing but allergens pie.
I won't have any. but I also this year I want to make a s'mores pie.
Ooh.
With graham cracker crust. I want marshmallow and chocolate mm-hmm. in the pie, as well as a marshmallow cover graham cracker crumble on top.
Oh yes,
I think it'll be amazing.
Yeah,
but it's going to be whipping the chocolate like and
it's like a French silk pie only with a marshmallow top.
Okay,
kind of.
I was thinking more like a cream.
A kind of custard pie. I'm experimenting with the marshmallow aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not using dairy.
You can drop off any over my house. Okay. I'll let you know.
Yeah, there won't be any dairy in it because I want to eat the damn thing.
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
So, it is going to be a marshmallow and chocolate whipping experience.
I'm looking forward to that.
And of course, I've got to flame the top of it. So.
Naturally.
Oh, yeah. You got to bring fire.
Otherwise, it's not.
No. You could probably experiment with some meringues, too.
Maybe. Meringue. I know what I have in my brain.
Okay.
I just don't know if it's going to work.
Fair enough.
Meringue.
So I want to do that. And then I want to make a breakfast pie with a bacon crust.
Your brother has been talking about doing a breakfast pie for quite a while now.
Oh.
He's been wanting, I think he wanted a biscuit crust with a bacon lattice.
Okay.
On the top is what he was talking about, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking just bacon crust. Like, fuck that shit.
Mm-hmm.
On bacon crust, basically like a quiche.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
I believe it's pronounced quickie.
I had a date like that once.
I
like a quiche?
One of the ones that I am thinking about doing.
Were your eggs scrambled?
Yeah.
Is
very quickly.
Whisked.
Not anymore, though.
Whisked you off your feet and scrambled your eggs. God.
Get out. Just go. Leave.
One of the recipes I'm eyeballing now is an apple pie with a cinnamon roll crust.
Ooh.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Dag, yo.
It's gonna be good.
Nice.
Get thee. I wonder would you take I'm thinking about this. Mm-hmm. Take like the Pillsbury one and slice them thin and then
basically.
Okay.
And then you roll them together into a solid.
Yeah.
Kind of like a what are those called?
Look like a patchwork quilt.
Like the trifle cakes. So
now I kinda wanna take Raffles. And,
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, like make the Raffles, but leave them a little bit soft, and then put them into muffin cups or something like that, into a bowl.
Okay.
Form them into a little bowl and fill them with I don't know, like a coffee something, because coffee and orange.
Yeah.
Yep.
Either way, yep. Pie. Oh, yes. Pie is a month away. It's really looking forward to it. But yeah, that's. I honestly I didn't do much, but I have. Remember how like back in December I was like, yeah, January is slow. I don't do anything, and I'm gonna have a lot. Yeah, that's no. It absolutely was. January and February, not a lot going on.
Oh.
But it's coming.
Yep.
It's coming. Come March, it'll be every weekend.
Wow.
Yay. Some of it all. Some there are some things where more than one thing is happening on the same weekend.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be. It's yeah. So get ready for that. It's gonna be all over the map. We're gonna have beer. We're gonna have fearless stuff. We're gonna have other stuff.
When is beer
we're gonna
again?
Have sword stuff. We're gonna have all crazy. It's gonna be crazy.
When's beer again?
March 3rd.
Yeah. The first weekend of March.
So that is the same day. Okay.
Same day as Polar Plunge.
Yep.
Which, by the way. I was going to talk about later, but we might as well just throw that in there.
Throw it in.
Donate to the Fearless Polar Plunge team. Uh-huh. I am on this team, as is James, and there are a few other Fearless members that are on this team. However, we represent the entire Fearless
comedy
production
team.
We represent everybody in Fearless, so if you want everybody in Fearless to jump in a lake, then donate, and we will do that by proxy.
If you've ever listened to our show and thought, go jump in a lake.
And you can do that at go to plungemn.org/team/fearlesscomedyproductions. donate to any one of us individually or donate to all of us together. If we don't hit our minimum, then we don't get to jump. And so that would make us sad. So you should probably do that.
Make a lot of I'm going to go donate right now.
Do that.
Yes,
should we take a break?
Yep. And then it's all Keith all the time.
Yep.
You mean nice. Kyle.
All right.
Radio KYLE.
I get it.
All Keith all the time.
And we're going to be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we are back.
Yay!
I'm Salsa. I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Keith.
And now we're going to talk to Cameron.
Yeah,
Kevin.
A bit more.
Capistrano.
Cagliostro.
Costello?
Costello? I've never heard that one before.
There we go.
Yeah.
Canker.
All right, Carmen, tell us about yourself.
I am Keith.
Kebab?
I haven't been here in so long. I feel like that episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
French Prince?
French Prince. Yep. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where they they replaced the mom. They
In West Paris was born and raised. In the bistro, I spent most of my days.
No,
chilling out, smoking.
Chilling out, Max, and relaxing with a bottle of wine. Philosophy. When a couple of nouveau riches came along and were talking smack.
No, I feel like that first episode or season three where they replaced the actress that played Aunt Viv and didn't tell anybody. Because last time I was here, there was a guy named Matt.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, I miss him. I miss the guy.
Your aim will improve.
I will. I hope. I came down. I'm here to promote Fearless Five.
Yay!
What's
Fearless Five?
Fearless Five is a festival of five plays that we're putting on starting Friday.
That was a lot of F's.
It is a lot of F's.
And F you, man.
And I've been drinking.
Fearless Five Festival.
Yeah, but it's Smirnoff Ice, so I mean...
Yeah, really. That's true.
Well, that added two F's.
But we give five writers a chance. We give a theme, and then we pick five writers to write on that theme, and then we have five directors do that.
Uh-huh.
And it's just kind of crazy. So I was picked as one of the writers, so I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of nervous.
But it only costs you one ticket.
One ticket to see five plays by five... That's like 25 times your money.
No, it is. Yeah. This is honestly something that I am really, really proud of our company for doing because we get the opportunity to see some really cool stuff out there. But you, like you said, there's five different writers.
Yep.
We're giving people an opportunity to write a play.
Yep.
Something small. You don't have to write an entire hour and a half yourself. You're just writing, you know, a chunk.
15, 20 minutes,
which is a good starting point. And then you give five other people the chance to direct, which is same, small, biteable chunk, so you kind of get your feet wet on that. And then you get a bunch of actors that you know, all get to play basically five different roles in the course of a night.
Oh, it's crazy.
All on the same theme, and this year's theme was...
Conspiracies.
Ooh. Which means it'll be awfully suspicious if you don't go. Just saying.
Okay.
No, it's
God, that was
it's
dumb.
Been a gas doing this. I mean,
awesome.
Dare
we ask what your play is about?
I am doing a play where Dave, this guy, gets a system for his house to integrate everything in the house.
Oh,
an Alexa.
An Alexa and Siri.
Yeah, that's that one.
Yes, they conspire against him to get him married off.
Oh, so like Alexa becomes Hal.
Yes.
Oh.
Both Alexa and Siri become Hal. They work together to make his life a little more miserable.
So first off, we have that conspiracy, but we also have the conspiracy of Alexa and Siri working together.
Correct.
What?
Who knew that could happen?
I don't.
It's like a conspiracy inside a conspiracy. It's conspiraception.
It's very layered.
It's a conspiracy sandwich. There's layers that I didn't even see coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, who is... so you're the writer of this one. Who's directing yours?
Eric is.
Eric, which one?
Thompson?
What?
Eric Thompson, Thompson. Yes. Okay. Not pedantic Eric, because fuck that guy.
Yeah,
okay.
No, he's in a different country, isn't he?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to...
No. God damn it! Jinx, motherfucker.
No, Eric Thompson's directing, and Jason is playing Dave.
Kruger?
Oh, yes. Okay. Jason's shit. Dave. Yeah. Brienne and... I forget. I'm blanking on her name.
Angela?
Angela, thank you.
Angela. Okay.
They are playing Alexis and Siri, and I think that's it. But I've been drinking.
How many characters do you have in the show?
Three, four?
There's been a lot of editing, okay?
Well, I started out with five characters. Oh. I know myself, and I procrastinate.
Ah.
So,
a man after my own heart.
When I found out I got picked, I started working on it right away. Right. I had already had a read-through before we even had the first production meeting.
Oh.
Nice.
Because I knew if I didn't, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Right.
So I turned it in, and I got feedback, and I redid it, and I got feedback, and I redid it. And this is probably the seventh or eighth iteration what you're going to see on stage.
Cool.
So it's been really amazing.
So you mean it's been distilled seven times?
Yes.
Ooh, that's impressive. Well,
at least.
Not like that Smirnoff Ice we drank.
Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ. No. That one hasn't seen a distiller.
This one sits on your palate a little nicer.
Yeah, that one's a little more disquieted than it is distilled.
Yeah. And then for me, part of the fun was... making the Siri devices, the Siri and Alexis devices.
Oh, yeah.
I actually had to learn how to program a microcontroller.
Neat.
Really? And the actresses are actually backstage with buttons, and as they do their dialogue, the two devices on the stage light up.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, it was... I wanted a little visual something on there, so...
Sure. So we've got some production value
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Whoa!
And then... I came up with that idea, and I'm like, I can't just turn this over to somebody and say, go ahead and do this stupid thing.
No.
So then I had to learn how to do the microcontroller. And...
The rule of this show is that if you come up with something stupid, you have to do it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of, yeah.
So does this mean you can teach me how to program, like, TEDxLexa or whatever?
Maybe.
Okay.
Depends on what language it uses.
Teddy Ruxpin Alexa? I think it's a...
I would have to look it up.
Oh.
It's creepy is what it is.
I saw somebody
I don't actually want Teddy Ruxpin. No. I want something else talking.
Like if you do it with a Billy Bass.
Billy Bass, yeah. I've seen that.
But if
one.
You want really hell to happen, that's it.
There are like some old school 80s toys that I really want.
Oh,
wanna,
yeah.
I want to refurb that.
The idea of...
It'll be fun.
I can't,
it'll be fun.
I feel like Teddy Ruxpin
spell.
Alexa is your worst nightmare.
Yeah, no, that's not what I want. I don't want the Teddy Ruxpin one. That got sent to me, and I went, oh God. But if that was something that wasn't a Teddy Ruxpin.
A Care Bear Ruxpin.
Nope.
Well, that's terrifying.
How about a Cabbage Patch Kid? You
like, I'm not afraid of Care Bears, and that scares me.
Yeah, it's the moving mouth part that
Well, yeah,
really
you get a Teddy Ruxpin and just, like, squeeze it inside of a... Cabbage Patch
The Cabbage Patch had those solid plastic heads, though.
You can work it out.
I had a talking peewee.
Don't tell it. We don't want to know what you do in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah. That's not something to brag about.
Public.
Keep it in your pants.
Whoa.
Or it's after hours.
It's a fencing show.
That's accurate.
Yeah, that is.
That
accurate.
Is completely
accurate.
Is so I've been accurate. At the fencing booth after hours.
Completely accurate.
So, have you written anything before? Was this your first?
I have written some small stuff, some sketches. Okay. When we had Young and Fearless, I did a couple three for them.
He was one of my prize writers.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, nothing of this length or that many characters.
Is that something you want to pursue then? Writing?
Actually, after doing this, I really. It gave me more incentive to do more.
Hmm. Cool.
So
nice.
I don't know that I will do like Fringe anytime soon. But yeah, I'd like to do more writing.
I think you should work towards it.
I know you're
writing from previous, and you were really good then.
Right.
So, and it's been several years now.
Yeah.
So
it's a procrastination thing. I know myself.
Yeah, well.
I'd have to throw my
ball
in there.
Sign yourself up for Fringe, and then you'll...
No, like everybody else does.
That's actually exactly what happened.
I completely second what Jenna just said there.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely go to town, do it. Because
I think they're
clearly
still taking applications. I'm not sure, actually. They might be done. Yeah,
see, clearly, this time around, you knew that about yourself, and so you were on the ball about
and
it.
And honestly,
and
I've
I think if you had applied for Fringe and got in, you'd probably do the same
and
thing.
And I've already thought about it. I've already got a title for my show if I do it.
Yeah.
It would be...
It's how most people start.
Well, because Fearless 5 is already taken, so I was going to do Take It in the Shorts and have, like, four or five short plays and just throw them out there in an hour.
I like it.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll see.
No, that's fantastic. Definitely. I approve wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just getting... Because watching the Fearless 5, like you say, we've only got, I want to say, 7 actors total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only 7, so everybody's in just about every play. Mm-hmm. And watching these guys do the rehearsals, I've been to a couple of them, I'm like, if I was in one and had 4 lines, I'd screw it up. And these guys are in 5 plays, and it just it boggles my mind how good
they
are.
That is one of the beautiful things about this format is on the surface, it seems extremely simple, where you have, you know, just... 5 plays by 5 different writers. Yay! And then you really dig into it and you go, no, this is giving 5 different writers the chance to write. This is 5 different directors the chance to direct. This is giving the actors the opportunity to have to go through that playing 3 or 4 or 5 different roles over the course of a single night, change costumes, change characters, learn all of the lines on that. It becomes a lot more of a complicated and high concept thing very quickly.
When we were doing Young and Fearless, there were people within the company that wanted us to do that more than quarterly, and I went, no.
Yeah.
It's because you don't see all of the other stuff. Like, the writers, and you saw more than most. Mm-hmm. There's going back and forth on the writing and editing and fixing that up. Then there's, you know, actor rehearsals that happens after that. Like, there's...
Well, even getting the actors to get, you know, enough people together that can find rehearsal time.
Right.
And, I mean, it's just, it's crazy the amount of background stuff that goes on.
Yep.
Bless me.
You're blessed.
Thank you.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too.
What else you got going down?
As far as performance stuff, that's about it. I stepped down in my job. I used to be a supervisor at work, and I told them to screw it. And now I just go in and put in my 8 hours and go home.
You're a drone?
Nice.
Welcome to dronehood.
Thanks.
My boss keeps my boss keeps saying, "Yeah, you can move up in this country." And I'm like, "Yeah, but then I'd have responsibility."
Yeah, no, I got rid of the responsibility. It was getting too much. It really was. Yeah. There's, you know, cut back on labor and then expect the people that are still there to do more. And then why?
Yeah.
I don't need it.
I mean, in my case, it's entirely different. It's because I cannot be a manager and be gone every weekend for performances and stuff like that. So,
Well, what really slated for me is I took a vacation. My brother got married in San Francisco. So I took a vacation, took a week off, went to San Francisco, came back, and my assistant had put in for manager pay. And I compared my check to hers and found out that I was making exactly $12 more a week to have all this responsibility and all this crap coming down on me than she did. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm done. It ain't worth the $12.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah. And I went to San Francisco. That was cool, too.
Well,
San Francisco's a good time. Oh. Did you get a chance to sightsee, or were you...
Oh, yeah. We stayed about a block from Union Square, and they have tour buses. So we paid the $40, and you get a 2-day pass for a tour bus.
Oh, nice.
Take it around, so they take you all down. We stopped... I had to stop at Haight-Ashbury, because you have to. And then we did Fisherman's Wharf. You get to go around and see all the stuff, and you get they let you get on and off and on and off. So, and we went all over.
Cool.
I peed in a public urinal thing. They got these small buildings, and
I kind of want the story to just end right there.
I had to do this because
I peed in a public urinal and then just sit back like
no, because these things are kind of amazing. You go in. And you hit the button, and it closes the door. You have exactly 10 minutes to do whatever you're going to do. Because then the door just automatically opens, because it's to keep homeless people from just going in there and staying in there. Okay. So you go in, and it's like a prison bathroom. Okay, there's no toilet seat. It's just folded into the bowl. You do your business, and then when you leave, the door closes, and everything folds up and gets sanitized and spray steam and clean and everything. And then the door opens up again, and everything's all clean and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So you did that 5 times in a row just so that you could have a fresh
No, I just did
time.
It once because the steam clean part didn't seem to be working in the one that I was in.
Whoa.
No.
So I just, but I had to try it. I mean, so you're there, had to try it.
So because it wasn't being cleaned, it was just as clean as any truck stop bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but I had to have that experience.
So. No, absolutely. That's pretty cool.
So it was pretty neat. We walked into Chinatown, and that was kind of depressing.
Oh?
Yeah, because I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, mm-hmm. the TV show Streets of San Francisco.
Mm, sure.
Okay? They'd go into Chinatown, and it was like this rough and tumble, and we walked in there, and it was like, tour shop. I mean, it was just not what I had thought building up in my memory is what it was going to be.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Buy all the same cheap shit that you get in an Oriental Trading catalog.
Yeah.
Did you buy a Mogwai?
Did what? A who?
A Mogwai.
No, I did not.
Okay.
No. I couldn't have got that on the plane coming home.
That's fair.
No.
It's tricky.
But this one shop we walked into, they had license plates from like every state except California. I'm like, why would I want to buy a Utah used license plate in California? It made no sense to me.
That's a fun story.
Why wouldn't you want to buy it?
Well, it just didn't make sense.
It's like getting a memento from a state that you haven't been at.
Yeah, it don't make sense. So
on the flip side,
I mean, that's because you're not from California. Yeah. I mean,
I suppose there's that.
People from California never leave California except to go to maybe New York. So
why would they?
These were exotic locales you're talking about.
It could be. I did go to the Museum de Mécanique. They have all these.
Okay.
What?
It's on Fisherman's Wharf. It's got all these old coin-operated machines.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Is this what I thought it was? Yes. Yeah.
You put your dime in, because most of them run on dimes still. Uh-huh. You put your dime in, and like the little marionettes dance around.
Yes.
Nickelodeons.
I want one.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And it was also, it was the one that was featured in Princess Diaries. Or they go in there and
you've lost me on that one, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a movie from San Francisco where the granddaughter takes the queen grandmother to this Museum de Mécanique, and she does the strong arm game. You put the coin in, you have to do the arm wrestle with the strong arm guy.
Yeah.
I got to use the same machine that they used in the movie.
Cool.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Could have been a new arm.
That's fucking
new box,
fantastic.
But absolutely. I would absolutely love to have seen
played
that
type of machine before. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. We got our picture taken in the photo. You got the photo booth for, a dollar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pictures, me and my girlfriend.
Awesome.
So, it was fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds
a great time.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Salsa.
Yes.
We need to go to the museum.
Okay.
Field trip.
Yeah.
Field trip.
Yes.
I want to go. Oh,
yeah.
Why Salsa? Why not me?
Because he's on this side of the bar.
Also, there's something we need to tell you, Jenna.
Finally. Jesus.
Nice.
God.
We also did the Alcatraz tour, which was amazing. If you've never been to Alcatraz, you got to put it on your bucket list.
Yeah, I've heard.
All right.
You go in, you take the ferry across, you walk up, and you get a headset.
Okay.
And it says, go to this spot, and you start it. And they've got one of the guys who was in prison there narrating the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And so the whole time you're going through there, there's like prison sounds going on in behind his narration, slamming and people yelling and the whole thing. And he does the whole narration and you're walking around. There's probably 200 or 300 people there. And you go into the mess hall at the end. And, this is where the tour ends. And you take off the headset and it's dead silent. Because all these people are listening on their headphones. So you look out, you've had, half an hour, 45 minutes of all these
white
prison sounds.
Noise, yeah.
And then it's just dead silent. It was kind of creepy.
So if you look over to your left, that's where the commissary is. And over on the right's the toilets. And if you look 3 steps ahead of you, there's the room where I first shivved a bitch.
The best, but what was really cool is you go down.
No,
you,
it sounds haunting, though.
Yeah, and you go down.
We don't say shiv, we say shank.
Yeah. So we... You go down to the bookstore.
Shiv is a Romani term.
Oh. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That would be like appropriation.
Exactly.
So you go down.
That's why
to
we say shank, which is still probably appropriation.
Somebody. So we go down to the bookstore, and there's a book written by the guy that just narrated the thing. Oh. It's a longer description of stuff.
Right.
So, 1999. So I pick up the book.
I fully expect you to say, and that dude walked around the corner.
He was there.
What?
Yeah, I pick up the book for 1999, and I turn around, and the guy's sitting at the table.
And he's fucking like, signing books?
Would you like me to sign that? I'm like, sure. And I got to talk to him, and I talked to him for like, 10, 15 minutes. And,
it's really great. I like how you narrated this. Also, probably shouldn't have killed your wife. But other than that, it was a pretty good...
I don't know. Or maybe she was but a bitch. No, the guy was in for tax fraud.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
because that's what a lot of people think. It was for like the hardened criminals, for the killers and stuff. It wasn't. It was for the people that couldn't adapt to prison. Hmm. So if you were, fighting with the guards or whatever, then they sent you there. Not just because of what you did.
Sure.
So, yeah, Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Prisoners coming. Ding, ding, ding.
It was crazy.
So this guy spent a bunch of time in prison there.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's spending a bunch of time...
In prison there. But...
I wanted to clarify. Okay.
But... And I asked him that. And he's like, but I get to leave and I'm making money.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Totally.
Two big differences.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sure... Every single day that he walks out the door is amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's
oh, my
be.
God.
Holy
that,
shit.
That makes
like,
sense.
That like, that probably would make up for it.
He walked out the door the first time and he went, I got to do that again.
Yeah.
He just turned around and
just
sipping back and forth.
Hey, can I get a job
123 times later.
You guys hiring? Don't tell me you don't take inmates.
Yeah. got a clean record? We'll take you.
On the forum, it asked me if I've ever been in prison. Joe, come on.
But yeah, it was probably the best trip I can remember taking.
Awesome.
Nice. Whole family was there and nice wedding. It was a lot of fun.
Aww.
Cool.
Other than that, I got nothing.
That's not.
Yeah,
that's
any
true.
Other fearless thing
that
we
is
should talk
untrue.
About?
Yeah.
You are at least assisting in a very vital arm of Die Laughing this year.
Ooh, yes,
which
yes,
is
I
coming
am.
Up. There we go.
Yeah.
And we got that in what, April?
Uh huh.
Is that me?
Mm-hmm. It's April.
Beginning of April.
That's when we do it.
I'm part of the challenges.
Yes, you are.
Shit.
Yeah.
Thank
I'm actually.
You.
In fact, if anybody's got like a bazillion Legos they want to mail me, just send me the list because.
Just do me a favor and round the edges first before send them over to Keith.
This is kind of so. I'm gonna pull back the curtain a little bit on me as a performer. I'm a sideshow performer.
It is.
Sideshow is what I do, and
should make like a...
basically what that means is my whole job is. Being impervious to pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm laying on a bed of nails, I need to not care that that hurts.
Yeah.
When I am snapping a mouse trap on my tongue, I need to not care that that hurts. And it fucking does. When I'm doing anything, glass eating, walking on coals, when I'm doing a ladder of swords, when I'm doing any of those things, I need to not care that that hurts. And now we've got this Lego walk that I'm supposed to basically do my sideshow shit at Fearless and go, none of this hurts me. And then walk across Legos and go, this really hurts me.
Right.
Like, that fucking sucks. Yeah.
Like
so
that,
bad.
That kind of dichotomy in my brain is like, how do I rectify those two situations? You know what I mean? Like I'm kind of having a crisis about it.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, it's not that I'm don't feel the pain. I do feel the pain, but clearly I can control it.
Right.
So it's like how do
I don't know. Like there are things that I can when I'm treating a wound or something like that, like if I have blisters at Fest, mm-hmm. something like that, and I need to put antiseptic in them and get rid of them and just take care of that. If I need to put alcohol on a cut, if I need to get stitches mm-hmm. When I donate blood, when anything like that, where it's like piercing the skin, that kind of stuff. I just handle it in much the same way. I can just be,
yeah.
But I think,
whatever.
Yeah.
But especially when it comes to, and this is like the hard part for me, is that with the Legos, it feels overwhelming to me.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like one thing, and I can't really prepare myself for it because it's not in one place.
Mm.
So I think I understand what Salsa's saying, and I'm going to take this to a different area.
Fair enough.
I grew up abused, like physically abused. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I learned how to shut things off.
Right.
Much like you do, only for very different reasons. Different reasons.
Yeah.
And this is totally going to violate one of the things that we said we weren't going to do, but orgasms. So,
are they painful for you, or is it?
No, but when you are used to shutting your body off,
mm-hmm.
so that you're not feeling things.
So you're shutting off all feeling.
Well, yeah, basically.
Okay.
Like, you don't get to pick and choose. Right, no. Either you're allowing your senses to sense things, right. or you're not.
You become numb, yeah.
Right.
Mm. So it took me a while to be able to relax enough to allow myself to feel what was going on in order to be able to have it. And now I just have them all the time. They're great. I love them. But I understand what I'm saying is I understand what you're saying between having trained your body to not receive and to not react to that, and then training your body, but this time it's okay.
Right. And the thing that I don't want to do is not give people their money's worth.
Right. Because
if somebody pays for me to walk across Legos,
you want
to
give them your legitimate.
I absolutely could shut my senses down in that case because I have taught my body, I have trained myself mentally to be able to basically shut that off.
Right.
Right. Sure.
But I want to make sure that I don't do that. Exactly. Yeah. I want to be honest. Right. I want to make sure that I'm not doing that. And actually give the person what they paid for. Because that is dishonest to not do that.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of that crisis that I'm having of in that moment, will I be able to be honest? Will I be able to not shut that down and actually feel that and experience that? Or will I just go to my happy place? And so that...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope.
Anyway,
I get it. I know exactly what you're saying.
There's an integrity and an honesty question.
So, really, Salsa, you need to practice having more orgasms, and then it'll be
done. James, let's go.
All right.
Not right now, you got. Jesus Christ, we've got a podcast.
My pants are half off.
I don't need your pants off. I just need your mouth.
God damn it.
So, challenges.
At this point, we're still going through some ideas and throwing some stuff out. We will be doing the Lego walk. That's guaranteed.
Awesome.
We're looking at looking to have the cake pops again. I believe we're locked in for those. We're looking at a drink challenge. Oh boy. Well, I mean, you guys are doing that one anyway for the
true.
You know,
oh my god, I'm going to be part of that.
Are we doing the blender
challenge? We are not doing the blender challenge this year.
Too much vomit.
there's too much mess.
It was a very messy problem.
It's not
just like something that you can clean up when easily. Your green room smells like fucking Ludafisk.
It was pretty awful.
Yeah, the first year we did it, it was at a hotel where you could just throw the key to them.
Dead to us.
Here you go. We don't care. Here's the key. Go clean
but,
it up.
But when we have like our other like guest performers coming into the area that smells to high heaven of, dear God.
Yeah.
No, that is reasonable.
Yeah, so... Yeah, we're still looking at a couple other ideas that people have thrown out. So
honestly,
yeah,
it wasn't the Ludafisk. It was the orange juice and hot dog slurry.
Ew,
that was the worst part.
Ew.
Did you do last year?
I did. Yes. Okay. Yes,
I first
absolutely
year with
did.
The spam
ew.
And hot dog. And,
no, it was pretty terrible.
It was.
See, like, spam and hot dog would go together.
But not with all the other junk added in.
No, not with all the other.
Yeah, no.
For me, the texture would be the
worst.
Yeah, that was
the hot dog slurry, I think, was probably the worst part. Also, worse than the Lutefisk and worse than a lot of
the first year
stuff.
That we did that challenge, we had leftover Lutefisk, and we did a last-minute challenge to eat
Lutefisk. Yeah.
Just, like, grab a fistful.
Right.
Yeah.
And I could smell that from across the stage.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah. So we're not doing that this year.
Yeah, no.
You guys, honestly, the Lutefisk just smelled like Christmas for me. Thanks, Grandma.
You already told us you were abused. That's
Are we doing some good challenges this year?
Yeah, we're looking at some good stuff. Awesome. We are going to do, I believe, the soda challenge.
That was pretty great.
Okay. Where people can buy and give you a bottle of soda.
Provided by Blue Sun Soda, hopefully, again.
We hope, yeah. I don't know where Eric is. I'm talking to him.
Okay.
So
I'd be surprised if Mark didn't come through on that.
Yeah, exactly.
But.
And some other snack challenges and stuff like that. So
nice.
You are going to need way more gushers than last year because Matt went through those.
Yes. Holy shit. Yeah, that has already been brought up. So gushers
just
gonna have
be
been brought up.
A kiddie pool full of gushers.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah. That's where Matt's going to be all weekend.
May he rest in peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
May he rest
awesome.
In peace.
And are there going to be some surprises too?
We hope.
Awesome.
We got to work some stuff out, but we're hoping. I'm
looking forward.
I'm looking at a challenge called Lick the Stick. I have to
had a date like that once.
I have.
No, oh God.
Yeah, I have.
My pants are halfway off.
I have to look into the safety of this.
Does this involve the kendo stick? Because suddenly kinky.
No, we will be doing the kendo stick challenge. No, this is it came out from my girlfriend. She works at PetSmart.
This
took a turn.
Oh my God, this is not getting better.
No, it is. She works at PetSmart, and there's a Facebook page for people that work at PetSmart.
Okay.
And an employee at a PetSmart turned a corner, went down an aisle, and a woman was tasting the stuff that you spray on like electrical cords to keep your dogs from...
Oh, like the green apple?
Yes, the green apple stuff. So she was trying it, and so I got a bottle of it.
Oh, Keith,
Well, see, here's the problem. The thought
was... Are you
trying
to keep your girlfriend from chewing on the cords?
No.
Is that what's going on? No.
The first thought was is that for like $5, we could just line up fearless people up there and just give them a spray shot, every one of them.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is the first ingredient is like, it's like 30% isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah.
Which would like kill everybody.
Right.
Yeah, that would
go
blind.
Could be exactly
which is
what
not which is not
ice.
Beverage alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what I'm looking at is actually soaking either tongue depressors or popsicle sticks into it, letting them dry off, and then you're licking the actual just the nastiness off of
it. Did you hear that Nintendo did that with their cartridges for the new system?
No.
Yeah, they impregnated. Impregnated the plastic that they use for the cartridges because they're small enough to swallow. So they made them taste
so kids wouldn't.
And so my friend Bear hands me one of these cartridges and he's like, taste it. And I'm like,
what?
Why
and he
would
goes,
you?
No. Try it. So I took this and I like gave it a little like across the edge and I was like,
well, there's a challenge for you.
Yeah. And then and he was like, yeah, they did this thing and I watched it and I was like, how can I
could have led with that?
Can I change mine with cartridge licking?
Yeah, but
a cartridge. That's
lick the stick has kind of a feel
lick the switch.
To it.
Yeah,
lick the cartridge.
I'm sorry. Cartridge licking is my new euphemism for cunnilingus. I'm sorry. I know that you were going somewhere else with that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
But cunnilingus is now cartridge licking.
So
just
like
go.
No, then I just took it and to spite him, I just put the whole cartridge into my mouth, and he's like, no. Give it back. Stop. I need that. What? That cost me so much money. And finally, he's like, he just puts his hand out. And he's like, spit it out. And I went, bow. Like, it dropped into his hand. And he goes, I'm never fucking handing you anything to put in your mouth again. And I was like, then you're learning.
Yes.
Lesson learned.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Fuck. I am not looking forward to that because that is the fucking... That taste clings.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fearless 5 opens this weekend and runs for the next 3 weekends. And it is at the historic Mounds Theater Friday and Saturday evening at
7:30.
Yes. Historic Mounds Theater, 7:30. Yay! 6 shows, 3 weekends. Go there. If you don't, you are part of the conspiracy. We're going to take a break and then we will come back with our Fast Five.
Yes.
Yay. Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Are we ready?
And we're back.
Oh.
We are ready.
I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Keith.
Hey,
I got it right that time.
Yeah, no, you sound really excited about that.
I'm excited for Fearless Five.
Sound like you got a
Fearless Five.
Sound like you got a lot of energy. A lot of pep.
A lot of vigor.
Funk. Yeah, how are you doing there?
Spirit off ice.
No, we're all very excited. Almost as excited as if we had all been drinking coffee.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I
what
know.
You
just,
say?
We have a lot of energy, right?
We do.
Just that nervous,
there's
just
a lot
got
of
raring
energy.
To go. Just
yeah, you know,
like
what?
When
I'm,
you've
I'm
got
actually
a...
I'm going to need some coffee after this
because
I'm going from like this high energy show, and then I have a whole 9-hour shift ahead of me.
You're going to crash if you don't get coffee.
You need some. Coffee.
I should probably get some coffee. What kind of coffee do you recommend?
I think you really want some good coffee.
I want.
You
the
don't
best
want
coffee.
Any of that Folgers shit.
I don't just want like. Mediocre, okay coffee. I want
not even acceptable.
The best coffee.
Yeah.
In that case, James,
yes.
The coffee you want is yes. True Stone.
True Stone.
True Stone
that is
coffee.
What I want.
It's
I can
true.
Tell just by hearing the name.
True Stone coffee is roasted locally here in the Twin Cities, and they deliver it right to your door with a roasting date. So you
I have heard
know
that is a thing.
You know that you are getting
that
fresh,
it is brand
roasted
fresh.
Coffee.
Yes.
And these people care about their coffee. They
Indeed.
Take the time and energy to roast the coffee to maximize the amount of flavor and wonderfulness.
I have to say, I have to interrupt the jingle
cup.
For just a second because the last delivery we got was Tanzanian peaberry, which is my absolute favorite. And what I've hated in the past is a lot of coffee places will over-roast it.
Mm-hmm.
True Stone did not.
Yeah.
They roasted it perfectly because mm-hmm. that's what they fucking do. And I have had the best coffee this week, you guys. It's
that's
been amazing.
Awesome.
No, it is always amazing.
God.
And you, too, can get the best. You can get the Tanzanian coffee if you absolutely want to. Roasted to perfection. All you need to do is go to truestonecoffee.com and you can choose whichever coffee you want. You can take a look at the Tanzanian if you like a nice lighter roast with lots of flavor. If you really, really need something with a lot of just bird, then, you know, check something
cool,
else
bro.
Out. You know, they've got a lot of... If you... are mobile, like
yeah.
James said, and you want, you can get the little 12-ounce bottles of Cool Brew.
Oh, those
or
Cool
you
Brew
can
grenades.
Get, oh, yeah, the Cool Brew grenades. Or you could get a growler of their homebrew or cold brew concentrate,
yes.
Which will stretch out for quite a bit. And that is how we have gotten through Die Laughings.
Yes.
As Speaking a matter of fact.
I need to start making my order, putting it together.
Absolutely.
Oh,
we
yes.
need to talk because I need to get some money to you so you can
yes.
Get a case from me as well.
I would love to.
The thing is I get a case of this Cool Brew and I don't use all of it for Die Laughing because there's a lot. I go through about half of it, but then I use the rest of them. I do a lot of Renaissance festivals around the Midwest during the rest of the year, and I use those bottles of Cold Stone, True Stone Cold
that thing.
But I take those with me, and those are really great for when I'm out there. You know, I I'm not home. I don't have the amenities of home. I just need to wake up. I need to get
an automotive bottle of NOS.
I wake up in a tent and I need to get to Cast Call and I need to be awake. And I have that bottle of True Stone coffee that gets me there. So you should go to truestonecoffee.com. And the best part is if you enter the promo code
APROPOS,
that's spelled apropos,
then you can get 10% off of your order, which is always a good decision to get stuff for slightly less than you would normally pay. However, if you absolutely want to support them, and you do, then you know, if you want to pay the full amount, we won't stop you from doing that either. But you don't have to. Hey guys, how about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
Fast Five!
For those of you that are not familiar with how this works, what a Fast Five is you, that's right, you, the listener, send in two messages.
And
that first message contains nothing but five choices. We do not know what these choices mean. We only have the choices. And after we have gone through and made our decisions, then we open the second email and we find out what the context is of what we have just decided upon.
Who is right?
And who is dead?
What they said.
I was not told that death would be around.
You have not been listening to this podcast.
Yeah, okay.
It is certainly career suicide to appear on the show.
Shit. Sorry, Kyle.
All right. This week, our Fast Five comes to us from Mr. Mud Stuffin.
Mud!
Who is just days away at this point from being a father. So I'm yeah, the little Muds. It's coming. It is. Wait, is
would
not
that be a puddle?
Away.
little baby puddle.
A mud pie in the oven.
Oh,
really cute.
No, I like mud pie. I like mud pie.
Like you keep seeing the ultrasound pictures that he posts online. Like,
oh shit!
Oh.
What did he do?
No, I suddenly feel very, very bad for bringing up the little weed now because of the first question, which is Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin.
Shit!
You know, I'd go big or go home. Hitler.
Oh yeah, I think yeah, it's got to be Hitler.
Godwin's really... law. Nobody's in an online conversation. The flame war doesn't eventually reach the point where someone's like, "Well, you're Joseph Stalin."
Yeah.
Nope. Hitler. No. Hitler the worst.
Hitler all around.
I mean, sure. The name that's has become synonymous. Right there. Yeah. All right,
four-pack of Hitlers.
Yeah, we don't see Joseph Stalin.
My next doo-wop band, actually. Four-pack of Hitler, doo-wop.
Oh, can I be a backup dancer for that? Yeah. Question number two. Are we all Hitlering?
Yeah,
we're
question number two. Hiling. Question number two.
Yeah.
Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin?
Oh, shit.
You know, I didn't vote for Trump in the last election. I'm not voting for him now.
Ooh, I'm going to go with Putin.
I got to go Putin.
I'm going to go Trump.
I'm going to go Putin because...
it's the only time I'm going to go Trump.
You can put his face on a cracker and it's Putin on the Ritz.
Putin is the one actually in charge, so...
Yeah, there's that.
Question number... Well, that took a turn. Question number three, Tim Wick or Matt Alex?
Tim Wick, fuck that motherfucker.
I don't know. Matt Alex is the worst.
I think
Matt was dead.
Two of them.
Matt didn't hit my car.
Oh, that's fucking true.
Of the two of them.
By Matt.
Of the two of them, I think.
Oh my God. Pause. One of the things that I did this week is I've been cleaning out my room.
Yeah.
And I found like a box of just like old like miscellaneous pieces of paper and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I found Matt Alex's high school picture.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to show it to you guys.
Yep.
I took a picture just so I could show you guys.
Between Tim Wick and Matt Alex, I think Tim Wick would make a better dictator. And my reasoning is, I think Matt Alex is the more evil, cunning genius. However, Matt Alex does not have the same follow through, I think. Tim Wick is a much better schemer, and I am shitting my pants because Matt is gorgeous.
Didn't he have, like, just gorgeous hair?
No, when I first met him, when he started Ville, he had hair down to his ass, and he was a Scotsman out at Fest.
Right?
He had luxurious.
He was Tears for Fears.
Oh, back in the day. With
no,
the big
that is players. That is straight up 90210 shit right there.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
Yeah.
I think Tim would make a better. I think Matt would be the more ruthless dictator, but really? Tim would.
I think Matt's more... face would look better on a dollar bill.
Oh shit!
So I'm gonna go Matt.
Okay.
No, I'm sticking with Tim.
I'm going Matt.
I'm gonna go Matt because I can picture him on like the Che Guevara style T-shirt,
right? Yeah.
With the little communist cap,
star on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Question number four. Boris Yeltsin or Mikhail Gorbachev?
I just like saying Yeltsin.
Which is the one with the pigeon poop on the birthmark that looks like the state of California.
I gotta go. I gotta go with him because he visited Minneapolis.
Okay, Yeltsin was the white haired guy.
Yeah.
Also, I think it was Gorbachev that
tore down that wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but also that yielded power gracefully and was like, we're done. This is it. This is the end.
Yep. Yeah. I got to go with Gorbachev because of the birthmark.
Because I just like saying Yeltsin.
Yeltsin is pretty great to say.
In Naked Gun, there's someone who is portraying, like parodying.
If you haven't seen Naked Gun by now, then... Question number five. Laszlo or Jim Cunningham?
Oh,
I have no idea where Matt is going with these. What the fuck? We've got three questions about dictators, then a question about Matt and Tim, and then Laszlo.
I'm gonna go Laszlo.
Yeah, Laszlo. I've attended a feast.
I've done it once or three times a day, every day.
Jim is the abbot, and Laszlo is the Costello.
It's true. But who is the actual mastermind behind the
Abbott
feast?
And Curly.
Laszlo, I think, does most of the writing, if I remember.
I gotta go with Laszlo.
I'm going Jim. Only because I don't think I've seen the show with the two of them.
What?
But I remember Jim way back hosting the feast when he was Lord Schweppes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
When Coke sponsored it. And I got free tickets through work.
Oh,
so it was like a bazillion years ago, so I'm going Jim. And that's the only reason.
I'm going to go Laszlo because the motherfucker still has my gold ISIS wings.
That's a reason.
I remember the day you gave this to him.
No, he used him for the rest of the season.
I remember
you
that
heard
day.
It here. Conspiracy. Jenna's involved with ISIS.
ISIS wings. The belly dancing prop. Never mind. Look, Laszlo is a
dancer. Part of ISIS too?
No, he's got the wings.
Look, his name is kind of foreign. Just saying. Just saying.
But he's not as cunning as Cunningham.
He's also not as much of a ham.
Oh.
I mean, that's not true. That's a lie.
That is totally a lie.
All right. Question. So we're going to get into the context here, and we find out what the fuck Mud was talking about. Oh, it doesn't get better.
Nope.
Oh.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin?
Hitler.
Four-pack of Hitlers.
Fuck, marry, kill. Who do you fuck?
You know? I could have a Hitler baby.
No, you couldn't. You only had one testicle.
You can still have a baby with one testicle.
Okay, just checking.
My baby has one testicle. He'll be just fine.
I bet the mustache tickles in just the right ways.
He's a smaller dude than me. I mean, plus the look on his face is going to be real funny.
Oh, my God. The moment of orgasm, that look? Ah! Fuck yes. Oh,
yeah,
God.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to stick with Hitler as well.
Yeah, you got to.
I feel
you
like
you don't want to see Stalin's Joe face.
I know. I think Stalin would be more of a bear, and Hitler would be a little bit more, you know, gentle and caring.
He was a vegetarian.
Yeah, exactly. And an artist. Yeah.
And an artist. Yeah. So, yeah.
He. The reason he became a dictator is because he didn't get into art school. I think he would have a sensitive side. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I definitely think you're talking about doing stuff with a sensitive side.
All right, question number two.
Oh, good.
Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin?
I give up already.
Oh, please,
fuck,
no.
Marry, kill. Who do you marry?
Oh.
Putin.
Putin.
He's younger. Look at that bod without a shirt on. Like, seriously.
Dude riding bears, I mean.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
If you're in charge of Russia, you get all of those palaces.
Yeah.
If you marry Donald Trump,
no orange skin. Just like, I'm...
If you marry Donald Trump, you're stuck in a Trump tower.
Yeah. Right, I was going to say.
Awkward princess.
Where everything is ironically covered in gold.
This is absolutely a Putin one.
Yep.
I would have to.
God,
agree.
That's an awful question.
Mud, though. You're a terrible person.
Right?
Yeah. Hitler.
Question number three. Tim Wick or Matt Alex? Fuck, marry, kill.
Jesus Christ.
Who do you kill?
Who do I kill? Matt.
We already killed Matt off.
Yeah, may he rest in peace.
I'm going to have to switch. Like.
Although, if we kill Tim Wick, we can start appreciating his comedy.
Nah. Who wants to start appreciating his comedy?
No.
No one. Yeah, that's fair.
We're going to kill Matt.
Well, the thing is, Matt's going to kill himself with all
Matt
of the shit
would
he eats.
Want it that way.
Oh,
yeah. Matt would want to go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah, that's true.
As long as we kill him in a blaze of glory.
It was that final fireball that...
Oh.
No, Matt would go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
If he hadn't been farting at the moment that the fireball was lit off his ass, he might have survived.
No, it wouldn't. Question number four. Boris Yeltsin or Mikhail Gorbachev? Fuck, marry, kill. Who do you fuck? I'm still sticking with Gorbachev on this
one. He's a little more pillowy, if memory serves.
Yeah.
I really don't know much about
Gorbachev.
The way either of
Gorbachev. Again, that birthmark just...
birthmark like, doing it for you?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just saying Yeltsin was so milquetoast as far as appearance goes. If I'm gonna fuck somebody, I want something that I remember.
Alright.
Huh.
Alright.
Alright.
Laszlo or Jim Cunningham.
Oh god, no. No. Oh. No. No.
Fuck, marry, kill.
No.
Who do you marry?
Oh, Laszlo.
I think I'm going to go with Laszlo.
Yeah.
So, when Bill died...
I can't wait for this segue.
This is a good start to the story.
He died on accident. And he was in the middle of a show called The Roast of Ebenezer Scrooge. And he played the Ghost of Christmas Present, which was a gay bear of a man. And after these shows, gay men would just hit on Bill. And they're like, no, we know you're straight, but, he got all these free drinks, whatever. So he died and there was a show that was supposed to go on the next night. Laszlo covered for him.
Awesome.
Laszlo filled in for the rest of that show. So I'm going to go Laszlo just because I have that, that Bill connection to him.
Uh-huh.
Not that Jim isn't a sweet, wonderful, darling man, but
no, I love them both dearly. I feel like Laszlo has that. Laszlo is so much more of a me. That insane, crazy energy, instead of the voice of reason.
Also, I yell at Laszlo all the time, so I feel like we just
like you are already married.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say I can imagine telling him to pick up.
Actually,
like,
I mostly yell at him like
on the
he's
way
a
home.
Kid.
So,
I kind of bop him on the nose and yell at him like he's a kid or a dog, but same thing.
Actually, no, I take that back. I'm going to go with Jim.
Yeah?
I still got to stick with Jim because I've met him, so I would have the opportunity.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Never met Laszlo, so.
No, the thing is,
in that door.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, relationships often have the Abbott and Costello.
Right.
You know, they've got the sober, you know, voice of reason, and then they've got the odd couple, you know,
mm-hmm.
Crazy one. I am the crazy one in my relationship. Raiderly is the voice.
No.
That is not to say that Raiderly does not have a sense of humor and does not have a crazy side, but she is the voice of reason.
Right.
I am the crazy one.
Exactly.
I think if we had two crazy ones, we would go crazy.
You'd both be
bad. Yeah. Oh, that's fair.
No, that's fair.
You need to have that grounding influence. And Jim is a grounding influence. He's a little crazy. He has a lot of fun. He's got a great sense of humor, but he is that calming, grounding, you know, voice of reason. And I think that is necessary in a marriage.
I'm definitely sticking with Laszlo then.
That's fair.
Because I don't know between me and Bill which one was the crazy, funny one.
If the question was fuck, it'd be Laszlo. But if it's Mary, it's got to be Jim. It's got to be Jim. Just saying.
Oh, God.
Good God. All right.
Mud. I'm just saying, I picture Laszlo being great in the sack. There's some swinging from the chandeliers going on there. That's all I'm saying.
I work with these people.
From the chandelier.
Now, I'm just saying there's bananas chandelier. And boxing gloves involved. I don't even know what they do, but they're there.
Right. The pilot's helmet and the egg whisk.
The cabbage and the egg, yes.
The wet celery.
If you have not seen L.O. Yep. L.O., you're missing out.
I just showed that to somebody and she was like, what is the egg whisk for? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, and I was like, I don't want to know. I can't. Nothing good.
If you would like to submit a Fast Five, then all you need to do is send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Please list the five questions in the first one, and in the second message, repeat the questions, and then give us the context for each of them. That way we don't need to jump back and forth between emails.
Fucked up, Mud.
If you had... No shit. Fuck. If you have never sent in a Fast Five before, you will jump to the top of the queue. And if you somehow manage to get a physical copy to us, then you will absolutely go first in line. If you have never sent in one before and you're wondering if you should, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you should.
If you are wondering if you should send them in because you don't know if they're good enough, they're good enough. Trust me. They're serious.
For this podcast?
They have to be better than what we just did.
Yeah. And if you're not... If you're Stalin, then you're literally Hitler.
I fucking hate you. So, yes, two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Anything we need to plug?
I think we plugged everything.
The amateur show is coming up at the end of this month.
The what show?
The amateur show for vilification.
There we go.
Oh, that show.
That again?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yes, it's happening again. We found a whole new batch of people to haze. And this year, I'm not one of them.
You think they'd learn. Yeah, yeah.
Finally, James.
This year, I'm holding the paddle.
I kind of want to go to this one.
Yeah.
Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta.
Theta, kappa, iota, kappa, lambda, mu,
nu. Zoo,
nu.
Cry. Yeah. Omicron. See, you stopped it. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega.
Yeah, that's correct. Right. You were in a sorority, weren't you?
I was. Oh. Alpha, gamma, epsilon. Anyway, so you're holding the paddle.
Yes.
Okay.
Alpha, psi, omega.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll have more things to plug closer to the end of the month, but okay. I'm going to hold off for now.
You are passing that up at the moment. Okay. So we've got the Vilification Amateur Show coming up. What are the dates on that again?
Friday the 25th, I believe.
Friday the 25th of February?
February. Let me double check.
Might be the 24th.
It is 23rd. The 23rd.
I
was way off.
I might have to make this the first show I go to after my retirement.
Don't you just double pi to get that date?
Is it the 26th?
Get off my show.
Okay, that's Kiefer. Not double pie.
No.
That's not double pie.
No.
Okay. plug your shit.
We have Fearless 5 opening this Friday.
Oh, yes.
Mounds Theater, 7:30. It's running for 3 weekends, Fridays and Saturdays. And if you want to see me throw up in a bucket, I'll be sitting in the back because I am so damn nervous about this.
Do you know how much it is to get in?
I believe tickets are, you can get them cheaper if you buy them online ahead of time. Correct. So just go to the Mounds Theater website. Just search the Historic Mounds Theater and buy them online.
And if you cannot find that, for some reason, go to the Fearless Comedy Productions website. Go to the calendar. There's links to all of that stuff.
Yay!
Genesette is going to defer at the moment, so we are going to move on to, I already mentioned, Mondo Jugglefest is this coming weekend. Not this coming weekend. Next weekend, February 16th, 17th, and 18th. All 3 days, and the special spectacular show where all the professionals will be doing all their polished stuff is on Saturday the 17th. That is, seriously, don't fucking miss that, because that's cool as shit.
Yeah.
And then...
I will say, I'm going to add, same weekend, James and I are going to be doing trivia.
Not together.
Opposing teams.
We'll be enemies.
Bitter enemies.
And then, Febtoberfest is... Febtoberfest and then Polar Plunge.
Yes,
by all means, I'm going to mention this again. Polar Plunge Team Fearless Comedy Productions is me and James and a few other Fearless members representing the entire Fearless Comedy Productions company. We will be jumping in a lake, but we cannot do it without you making donations. So again, go to plungemn.org/team/fearlesscomedyproductions and make those donations.
We want to be frozen. Your assets should not be.
Yes, we will be taking pictures, so you will be able to see pictures of us freezing our ass off in a frozen lake.
I will be there
like
taking
idiots.
Pictures.
Yes, absolutely.
Please. Also, your co-host for a different podcast, Maddie Bubbs, will be there pictures for Fearless. I am paying to have pictures also professional.
Oh, awesome. Well, then I'll just be there to watch and point and laugh.
Well, no, I mean, the more pictures, the better.
Yeah.
I'll take video. He can take pictures.
But sure. I absolutely must stress this. These donations are pay what you want in whatever amount you really want. Well, if you want to give if you seriously want to give each person a buck, awesome. That's will take this. Great. And as Matt, or I'm
making
as
rest
James,
in peace.
As
wow.
James, it's been a long time.
It never happens in bed.
As long as...
Well, again.
Not again. thank you very much. as James just pointed out, this money does not go to Fearless. This money goes, every single dime goes to the Special Olympics of Minnesota. So you're actually donating to a good cause for once. And also, this is a tax-deductible donation. Every single penny of this is tax-deductible. So that's another reason to do it. There is literally no reason not to give us money. It's tax deductible, it goes to a good cause, and you get to see us jump in a frozen lake. There is nothing
awesome
about this.
Right.
There's no downside to this, yeah.
And I will be stressing that every week, because again, we do not get to go if we do not hit our goal.
Yeah, don't make us get the Sarah McLachlan commercial out on you. Yeah, because we will.
Should we get out of here?
We're doing it now.
For just the price of a cup of coffee.
You can have a cup of coffee. Also, get True Stone.
Get some True Stone coffee. And then laugh your ass off as James and I have our penises retract into our bodies.
They will become internal organs.
As we jump into water that is fucking cold.
Bitterly fucking cold. All right, I love you. Bye.
Eat the fucking cake.
This is me testing my microphone. Testy, 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 testy.
detest?
Testing. Booyah Bays based jokes. Booyah Bays based jokes.